Good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning as we look into the Word of God. We hope all of you had a great week. Here we are on the fourth Sunday of January in this new year. Last week, as you remember, we looked at the transfiguration of Jesus, and I told you we'd be having the Lord's Supper this morning in our church services. And so, you know, that's always a little different trying to preach the Lord's Supper to you on the radio, and then we do a little different in our worship service this morning, but I think you'll get the gist of it today, and I hope that it'll remind you of just what all Jesus did for you. So we pray for you this morning that may be homesick, not able to make it to your church. We pray for those that may be traveling, and so we want to go right now to the Lord, and then we'll get right into our message. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for opportunity once again to come and to share your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that you will just bless me in a mighty way, that you'll cleanse me of my sin and unrighteousness, that you'll be able to speak through me, remove anything that will hinder me being able to receive your word this morning, being able to be used by you, that vessel that you can speak through your voice for you today. And Lord, I pray for the hearers, those that will be listening. I pray, Lord, that they will hear the message that you have for them, that it will sink deep within their hearts and in their souls. And Lord, as we remember today what Jesus did for us, dying on that cross, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his body, Lord, help us to truly remember why he did this and how it affected us, brought us salvation. That, Lord, that there is no remission without the shedding of blood, and it only comes from you. And so, Lord, we pray that Satan will be bound. Don't let him steal from us what you have for us today, as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning, as we think about the Lord's Supper, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26. It's the one I love. We got several distant instances, but we're going to be talking a lot about different aspects of this Lord's Supper this morning, but we're going to read verses 17 through 30 of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 17 through verse 30. You know, as I tell our people at the church oftentimes, you know, this should be the largest service that we have, is when we're having the Lord's Supper, or we're having baptism. It should be the largest time that people will want to come. They should want to come to participate in that holy communion, that says that we are one body in Christ, that we have been washed through his blood, that we have been saved through him giving his body there on that cruel cross and shedding of his blood, that we ought to want to come and remember exactly what Jesus has done. And then our other ordinance that we participate in as Baptists, we believe in that of baptizing believers, those that believe. You know, every believer should want to be here when somebody's being baptized, because it is a great showing, a great witness of what God can do in our life, how that people that are saved through Jesus, they are baptized, they are buried with him, going under that water, but then they raise to up out of the water to show that walking in that newness of life. So these are the two ordinances that we do celebrate as Baptists, and as ones that I said that I believe every member of the church ought to be there when we have these two things, and especially this Lord's Supper, as we'll be doing today in both of our morning services. So what does this Lord's Supper have to say to us? What does it mean to say to us? What does it all mean? Well, when we think about it, well, we want to look at that this morning. So let's read, if you will, Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 17. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city and such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house and my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with his 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were all exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And it had been better, good, that this man had not been born yet. And Judas, which had betrayed him, answered and said, Master, Is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know, this morning as we look at these verses and Matthew's account of this Lord's Supper, we see that he tells his disciples that it's time for us to observe the Passover. It says the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened. And he says we need to eat the Passover. Now, what was the Passover? You remember what the Passover was all about? It was about when the Israelite people were in Egypt. And we know that God had sent Moses to go and bring the Israelite people out. And guess what? Pharaoh didn't want to let them go, did he? And so God had sent plague after plague and plague upon Pharaoh, but his heart was hardened. He would not let them go. So finally, God said, I'm going to kill the firstborn of everything, every person, everything. I'm going to kill that firstborn. For you as the Israelite people, for the death angel to pass over your house, you go and you kill a lamb, you make this sacrifice, and then you do what? You take the blood and you put it over the doorpost and down the doorpost. And when the death angel comes, when he sees the blood, what will he do? He'll pass over. That's where the word comes from. That's where the idea comes from, the Passover feast. And we know that when that death angel came that night, that the angel passed over every door that had the blood. Well, you know, that's the way we are. Every person that has the blood of Jesus upon them, every person that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God, guess what, brothers and sisters? The death angel will pass over us. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to die physically. We are going to die physically, but we'll never die spiritually. We'll live forever and ever in heaven with Jesus. We won't be dead spiritually, but we will die physically one day. But to pass over death of the spirit, we will be saved and we will have eternal life. So that's what the Passover is all about. And that's why it's so important to correlate that with what Jesus did when we see him giving of his body and the shedding of his blood. But we'll get in more into that in a few minutes. But I want us to look at several different aspects about the Lord's Supper. The first thing I want us to see is the hand that betrayeth me. The second thing we're going to see is that we are to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves. The third thing, we'll see that body and that blood that was given. And then we'll answer the question, well, why did he die? Why did he have to die so that we could have eternal life? Why did it have to happen? We talked about last week as he was praying there in that Garden of Gethsemane. What? Lord, if there's any other way to allow this cup to pass from me, please let it pass. But if not, your will be done. So let's think first about what we just read in these verses. Look at 17 through 25. Once again, it says that while they was there and the partaking of the Passover feast, that listen to what he says beginning there in verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say within himself, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written, but in woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man that he had not been born. And then Judas says, That which what? Had betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And what did Jesus say? Thou hast said. Now think about that just a minute. You know, Judas at this time, he's already done went and sold out Jesus, you know, for those 30 pieces of silver. We know the story how he had went to the council and he says, Look, I'll deliver him unto you. We looked at last week about Jesus being in that Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the story there, as we pointed out, as he's there praying. And then when he gets through praying, what happens? We see that Judas shows up and he goes and he betrays him, what? With a kiss. Well, we see Jesus knows everything that's happening, doesn't he? And he says, there's a hand that betrayed me. The hand that betrays me is in this dish. He's dipping his hand in that dish with me. And I wonder this morning, how many of us who are here who are going to partake of this Lord's Supper, how many of us are betraying Jesus day in and day out? How many of us are selling him out? you know, for 30 pieces of silver. We see in this story how that Judas betrays him. We see also, if we had kept reading, how that Peter would what? Would deny him. Think about that. You know, so, you know, we often quick to jump on Judas as being that one which betrayed him. But even Peter, you know, he says to Jesus, he says, well, you keep saying you're dying. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to stay with you and I'll go with you even unto death. And what did Jesus tell him? He says, Peter, he says, before the cock crows in the morning, what's going to happen? Before he crows three times, before he crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. So we see that it wasn't just Judas. We know the big betrayal. It said it would be better if he had not been born, but yet it was necessary. It behooved Christ to die on that cross for our sins. But whose hand was betraying him was Judas. So this morning, you may not be a total betrayer like Judas. You may not be a total betrayer who would sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. But let me ask you this morning, but what about how many of us deny him day in and day out? And we're here taking of this Lord's Supper. We're here participating in it. We're here dipping our hands in the same bowl of Jesus. And yet, how many of us are denying him? When we walk out those doors, we would deny him. And we will, you know, turn our backs upon him as Peter did. Now, we know Peter had opportunity to do what? He had opportunity to redeem himself. And we know how that when Jesus arises from the grave and he meets with them and he asks Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times, what do you think that meant? How'd that make old Peter feel? What did Peter tell him? He says, Lord, finally, he tells him the last time, he says, Lord, you know everything and you know how much I love you. It was different in the betrayal of Judas. Judas never had that opportunity. He went out and hung himself. He went out and hung himself. And you know, brothers and sisters, you know, he didn't have that time to repent. He didn't have that time to come and have himself redeemed. Now, you know, I don't believe that everybody that commits suicide, I'll just go ahead and tell you, go straight to hell. I know there's some religions that won't teach that if somebody commits suicide, they go straight to hell. Because look, I've known some godly people who have taken their own lives for whatever reasons, that they just got overwhelmed, or maybe they had physical problems or needs that they just couldn't overcome, but they really believed in the Lord and trusted in him, and I just believe they got overwhelmed. But we see that Judas, this is a whole different case. We see he had betrayed the Son of God, even to his death, and he just couldn't bear it, and he took his own life. But brothers and sisters, think about that just a minute. You know, if you're anticipating or thinking about suicide, if it ever crossed your mind, let me just tell you this morning, don't do that. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, you can have time to redeem. It's not that bad. You can overcome, and we would love to talk to you. If you're in that situation and if you're feeling that way this morning, then I ask you, please don't do that. Give us a call. We would be glad to talk to you about that. And I know I'm off running a rabbit, but we see Jesus died on the cross for your troubles, for your sins, for your problems. And there's no sin, there's no problem, nothing too great that God can't see you through, that Jesus can't see you through. So this morning, you know, if you're contemplating suicide, please give us a call or talk to somebody so that we can talk to you about that. And hopefully that Jesus will be the answer for you, because that's one of the reasons he died on the cross, was to save us and to give us that peace of mind. So we see, first of all, the hand that betrayeth me, old Judas, he's there. Then let's look at the second thing. Because of that, what did they begin to do? When Jesus says that, the Bible says they began what? Now, everyone began to look at himself, and they began to say, what? Well, is it I? Am I the one? You know, am I the one that's going to betray you? Am I the one that's going to do that? Every one of them said to him. They began to look at themselves. You know, we're told over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 there through verse 30. We see that he also talks about the Lord's Supper there. And listen to what he says there. Let's take the time to read it. He says, now in this that I have declared unto you, I praise you not, For you come together not for better or for worse, for all of you, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating one man taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you for this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and as he was sup, saying, this cup of the New Testament is my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So look what Paul is saying here to the church at Corinth. We see when they would come together, kind of like one of our fellowships. When we'd come together for like one of our fellowships, he says, you don't have any, it's not a communion of your souls together. It's not coming together, having all things in common. He says, I've heard that many of you come in and the rich and have plenty. You're sitting down, you're eating and drinking your own food before the poor gets there and before others get there. And maybe some people don't have a lot to bring. And so you sit down, you eat up all your food. And by the time they get there, you're already drunk. Because you've drank so much wine, you didn't leave any for them. He says, is this having everything in common? Is this what the Holy Communion means, that we are come and partake of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ as one people, and that we are communed together? He says, you got houses to eat and drink in. You got houses to eat your supper in and eat your dinner in. He says, but when you come to the house of God and you come to partake of this Lord's Supper, then you got to remember what it was for. The shedding of his blood, the giving of his body. And he says, when you do this in remembrance of me and what I have done. He says, but you're not doing that. You're not remembering each other. You're not remembering what Christ did. He says, you need to do what? Examine yourself. Did you see that in verse 28? Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For if you eateth unworthily and drink unworthily, what happened? You have damnation to yourself. Not discerning the Lord's body and his blood. Did you hear that? He said, let us examine ourselves. Now, going back to where we read a while ago in Matthew, what happened there? We see that when Jesus said, ever who puts his hand in the cup with me, he is the one that betrayeth me. And they all began to say, well, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? They began to look at themselves. Is it me, Lord? Is it me? And finally, old Judas, he said, is it thine? What did God say? What did Jesus say to him? You said it, not me, buddy. You the one that's already made this deal. You know that you are the one that has betrayed me. And he says, so we need to do what? We need to examine ourselves. We need to look this morning before we take this Lord's Supper to our own hearts. We need to see if there's anything that we need to get right with God this morning. So I encourage you to look into your heart. I encourage you to examine yourself. I encourage you to ask this morning, Jesus, am I betraying you in some way? Am I denying you like Peter in some way? Am I not doing what I need to do to partake of this Lord's Supper? He says, because if we do it unworthily, then we have done it unto what? Damnation unto ourselves. So then we see the taking of the blood, the body, and the blood. How that he sheds that body. He gives that body and he sheds that blood. It says while they were eating, beginning there in verse 26 once again, of chapter 26 of Matthew, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body. In other words, you know, there's a lot of people that believe, a lot of religion that would teach you that, that when you partake of the Lord's Supper, that it actually turns into the body of Christ. But we don't believe that. We believe that this is a symbolism of Christ's body. It symbolizes his body. It's to remind us, as we just read there, take this bread. When you eat of it, this is my body. You are consuming me. As I consume you, as I dwell within you, you are consuming. This is my body that was given for you. I gave my body. There had to be that physical giving of that body. It's kind of hard to shed your blood for something and not give your body, right? It's kind of hard to shed your blood for something. You know, if you take all the blood out of me and if I give all my blood for you, then my body's not going to survive, is it? It's not going to survive. So he gives his body, which is the bread. And then he took the cup and he blessed it. And what did he say? Drink you all of it, for this is the blood of thy what? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For what? For the remission of sin. So we have that body and that blood. This is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of our new covenant. We have a new covenant together. It's a blood covenant. It is a covenant that I have given my blood, shed my blood. And why did I do that? And that's what I want us to look at next then. Why did he do this? Why did he die on the cross? You know, I believe that we got some people that believe today that Jesus died on the cross so that they could continue in sin. He died on the cross so that they could do what they want to. Did Jesus die on the cross so we'd have the right to kill unborn babies? Does that give us that right? Did Jesus die on the cross so that we can legalize drugs and alcohol and gambling and call it all right? And you know, is that why Jesus died on the cross? Did Jesus die on the cross so that same sexes could get married? You know, it gives them the right to get married. Is this why he died on the cross? No. These things are sinful. And he died on the cross because of our sins, people. He says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, he says, shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? He says, God forbid. We are to be dead to sin. That's why he died. He didn't die so that we can experience more grace, so that we can say, well, we're under grace now and we can just do what we want to. No, he died so that we would not continue in sin. He died so that we could be better. In Romans 5, 9, he says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, that we are saved from the wrath through him. So we've been justified. We've been justified from our sins. In other words, we've been made right with God. So would that mean that if we've been justified, that we go back and do the same thing over? You know, would we do that? You know, if you got justified, if you got found guiltless of murder, would you turn right around and go kill somebody then and say, well, you know, I was justified from it, so I might as well just go and kill somebody. Maybe I get off with it again. No, that's not the reason you do that. You're a changed person. You do different, and we are different. We do it because we do not continue to sin, but we are different. He says that he died for what? For the remission of sin. We just read, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for what? For the remission of sin. That brings forgiveness. That's what remission is. It's the forgiveness of sin. It pays for our sins. We're justified it, and then we are forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through the blood of the forgiveness of the sin according to the riches of his grace. Did you hear what he said? We have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. What is it according to? According to the grace of Jesus Christ, according to his grace, according to his willingness to forgive us of our sins. That's why he died. Not so you can continue in sin, not so you can keep sinning, but so that you have been forgiven, you have been justified of that sin, and you have become what? A cleansed person. That's the next thing. He died so he could cleanse us from our sins, so that we could find that cleansing. It's called a regeneration. It's regeneration. It's giving us a new life in Christ, making us that new person. We are clean from that sin. Listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. He says, "For in the blood of the bulls and of goats and of the ashes of heifers, sprinkling on the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Then how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, and what? Purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So did you hear what he says here? He says, we have gotten sin. He says, think about it. Back in the Old Testament, they did the sacrificing of the goats and the bulls and of the heifers. And it says, if the blood of these bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer that had been burnt up, sent up as a burnt sacrifice unto God, as it was sprinkled upon the unclean, and that was sanctifying them, he says, to even purifying them, then how much more should the blood of Christ do for us? Because the blood of Christ, what did he say? Jesus presented himself to be our sacrifice, presented himself to God without spot, without blemish, without any kind of defect. He was without sin. And he says, he gave himself for our sacrifice to cleanse us. He says, uses the word here, purge us. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, Jesus died on the cross, folks, to cleanse you from your sins. Not that you should continue in sin. Not that you could continue saying, well, maybe more grace abound. But he died on that cross to cleanse you from that sin, that you would what? Be purged from it, that you would serve the living God. That's why Christ died on the cross, to save us, so that we would serve God, so that we would be his servants. We would be his sons and daughters. We would be adopted into his family, and that we would serve God because of what he has done for us. He didn't die on that cross so that we can go on living our own lives, our own ways, and living in an evil way and living in a destructive way in this world today. But that's what people seem to think. Well, Jesus died for me, and I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to go on and do what I want to because Jesus died and paid for my sins, and I know I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you do. You got to examine yourself. You got to make sure you're not living unworthily, that you're not partaking of this Lord's Supper unworthily, because if you really believe in the cleansing blood of Jesus, if you've really been under that cleansing blood of Jesus, if you partake of his body and his blood this morning, remembering how he changed you. How did he did what? What did we say those words? He justified us. He forgives us. He sanctified us. He purifies us. And it all comes from what? The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. It all comes from him. And because of that, he brings us down to our last point this morning. It brings great what? Assurance of our salvation. Assurance of our salvation. We just read from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, talking about how much greater was the blood of Jesus than those blood of the goats and the bulls and the heifers' ashes. Now, why was it so much better? Well, listen to what he says and back in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 9. He says, neither by the blood of the goats or the calves, but by his own blood, he internally, what? He internally, and once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So listen to that. You hear that? That Jesus, by his blood, by his own blood, he entered into once that holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. Now, there's two words that I want us to look. He entered what? Once, and he obtained what? Eternal redemption. Now, when we think about that blood of those goats, and we think about the bodies of those bulls and the heifer's ashes that had been, she'd been offered up as a burning sacrifice, he says, you know, they did that what? Every year. They had to keep doing it time and time again. Every year you had to go in. Every time you had to go and you had to offer up these sacrifices for your sins. And the priest would go in and to the Holy and Holies and try to offer up unto God and to appease God for the sins of the people. But it had to be done over and over. But what did it say here in Hebrews? That Jesus, what? By his blood, he entered what? Once. He only had to go into the Holy Holies once. That Jesus brought what kind of salvation? Eternal redemption to us. Not one that only lasted for a year. Not one that only lasted till the next sacrifice or till the next time we kill a goat or sacrifice a heifer or a bull. He says Jesus did it what? Once and for all. When Jesus gave his body and shed his blood, brothers and sisters, once and for all, our sins are forgiven. Once and for all, we have been justified. Once and for all, we have been sanctified and purified before God. We don't have to keep offering sacrifices. If that was the case, we'd be killing a bull this morning or a goat this morning or something, or sacrificing a dove or something this morning to pay for our sins. But we don't have to do that because Jesus did it. And this morning, as we partake of this Lord's Supper, we do it what? In remembrance of him. Why he gave his body. Why he gave his blood. Asking ourselves the question, are we the one betraying him? Are we the one that's denying him? Are we living those lives and serving the living God like he called us out to do? What about you this morning? What about you? Are you worthy to partake of this Lord's Supper this morning? Have you betrayed Jesus this week? Have you denied Jesus this week? Then repent of that sin before you partake of that Lord's Supper today. Repent of that sin. Get your lives right with Jesus and live for him day in and day out. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened so attentively. We thank you for what Jesus did for us there on the cross. And Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, without him, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of that spotless blood of Jesus, there would be no forgiveness, no sanctification, no justification. But because of him, we know that we have the assurance of eternal life today. Lord, if there's one that does not know you, help them to accept you as Lord and Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.